maintenance audit of Qantas is turning up a few problems. The U.S. Air Force will be reinvigorated, and pilot hirings by the U.S. airlines have slowed abruptly. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 14th, 2008. Back on July 25th, a Qantas 747 had an explosive decompression incident thought to have been caused by an exploding oxygen canister. There were no injuries, but the blast took out a 5-foot section of the fuselage skin and forced a precautionary landing. Last week, when Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Administration announced an audit into maintenance at Qantas, the airline said, no big deal. You might get a different reaction if you asked this week. The Sydney Morning Herald reports Qantas pulled six 737-400 Classics from its fleet on Monday to check compliance records related to a 2003 CASA airworthiness directive, calling for inspections of the aircraft's forward pressure bulkheads for signs of fatigue. On Tuesday, a Qantas 747-300 experienced an uncommanded shutdown of one of its engines on approach to Auckland. The airline grounded another 747 the same day after discovering the aircraft's horizontal stabilizer jackscrew had missed its scheduled maintenance. The paper notes a Qantas 767 was pulled from service on Tuesday after pilots found a problem with the flap position indicator. Qantas has a great safety record and has never had a passenger fatality in 50 years of operation. So, are the problems this week evidence of slipping standards? Or is it that the standards have been good enough to produce this enviable safety record? Stay tuned. The U.S. Air Force's new chief of staff pledged on Tuesday to reinvigorate his service following acquisition woes and mishandling of nuclear weapons. General Norton A. Schwartz was sworn in as chief of staff earlier in the day and told reporters at a Pentagon news conference that the service is fundamentally sound. Quote, "It doesn't mean we're perfect, and we certainly have work to do, things to fix, fences to mend," unquote. He added that the Air Force's ability to ship 2,000 Georgian soldiers from Baghdad home to Tbilisi this past weekend demonstrated, quote, "We know how to operate, and we continue to support the joint team in Iraq and Afghanistan," unquote. Schwartz was joined by Acting Air Force Secretary Michael B. Donnelly, who said he and the general have several issues to address, including the nuclear enterprise, care for wounded soldiers, the service's intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance posture, the acquisition process, and modernization and recapitalization. Still, he said, the Air Force's main priority is, quote, "our continued support for the global war on terror," unquote. Donnelly and Schwartz replaced Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn and Chief of Staff General T. Michael Mosley, whose resignations were demanded by Defense Secretary Robert Gates following an investigation that revealed a decline in the Air Force's nuclear program focus, performance, and effective leadership. Even before the end of summer capacity cuts begin, U.S. airlines have dramatically slowed pilot hiring. Airlines that report to AIR Incorporated hired a total of just 287 pilots in July. That's 56% fewer than in the previous month. AIR notes that pilot furloughs rose slightly from 2,327 in June to 2,397 in July, and says that number will only increase through the remainder of this year. 78 of 175 airlines that report to AIR are still hiring pilots. Southwest is the only major that's still interviewing people, but four national airlines, 10 jet operators, and 17 non-jet operators say they're still hiring. AIR's next airline pilot job fair is coming up in the Washington Dulles area at the Hyatt Regency Reston Hotel on August 23rd. A Florida helicopter pilot faces up to 2 months in prison after pleading guilty to a slew of charges connected to an incident last November. Ronald John Davis Jr. was accused of flying erratically while giving rides at the Suffolk, Virginia Peanut Fest. Patrons told authorities they smelled alcohol during the flight. And head of the local airport authority said Davis's helicopter flew 20 to 30 feet over parked cars, performing maneuvers he called dangerously acrobatic. Davis was later arrested by police for flying under the influence. He allegedly failed a field sobriety test and later blew a 0.116 BAC. That's nearly three times the legal limit for pilots. WBBH-TV reports Davis pleaded guilty to child abuse and neglect this week in connection with his flights as part of an agreement with prosecutors. He'll be sentenced November 13th. In a separate FAA action, Davis will lose pilot and command privileges for 5 years. It's not clear whether he'll be able to continue his business in Naples, Florida, which coincidentally is called Good Time Helicopters. Up next on ANN, Avedine's MLX 770 adds weather and text for Latin America. Northrop Grumman reps report a productive meeting with the Defense Department. And AOPA has questions for McCain and Obama. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 14, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Avedine Corporation announced on Tuesday graphical weather and two-way text messaging is now available for Latin America on its two-way data link transceiver, the MLX 770. The announcement came during LABES, the annual gathering of Latin America's business aviation community that's being held this week in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Avedine introduced the MLX 770 earlier this year at EBACE with weather and text capabilities for Europe. Last month at Oshkosh, the company announced it will continue to expand the coverage throughout the globe, adding specific regions through the remainder of 2008. The transceiver relies on Avedine's Network Operations Center and the 66-satellite Iridium system. It weighs just 3.6 pounds and offers coverage at all altitudes, even on the ground. Pentagon officials met Tuesday with reps from Boeing and Northrop Grumman to make sure there are no misunderstandings going into the third and what they hope will be final round of bidding for a contract to provide the U.S. Air Force's new aerial tanker. After representatives of the Northrop Grumman EADS KC-45 tanker team had their meeting with the DoD, Company VP and KC-45 Program Manager Paul Meyer introduced a statement which said in part, quote, "Today's meeting was a productive review. It is clear that the Defense Department met the concerns raised by the Government Accountability Office, and the draft amendment to the KCX tanker request for proposals addresses those concerns by clarifying, but not altering, the tanker requirements and specifications," unquote. Not altering may depend on who you talk to. Boeing has threatened to withdraw from the bidding if the terms of the new RFP are changed to give an advantage to Northrop's Airbus-based design. If you're going to be a U.S. presidential candidate, you're going to have to expect to face some very narrow questions from special interest groups. In some cases, questions you may never have been asked before. In this year's race, some of those questions are coming from a little special interest group called the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. AOPA says it has sent questionnaires to both John McCain and Barack Obama to find out where do the candidates stand on general aviation issues. AOPA notes that Cindy McCain is a pilot. Obama has relied heavily on GA during his campaign, but otherwise little is known about where the two contenders might stand on issues like user fees and airport improvement grants, GA security, or environmental issues. AOPA President Phil Boyer explains, quote, "Rather than endorsing a candidate, we've asked the campaigns where they stand on GA. We'll publish the answers in the November 2008 AOPA pilot," unquote. Officials at Ohio's Akron-Canton Airport, also known by the identifier CAK, have found a novel way to hold interest in their runway expansion project. They celebrated the halfway point in the lengthening of 523 by holding a groundbreaking ceremony for the second half of the expansion. 2 million yards of earth have already been moved to build up the aircraft landing surface, allowing for the extension of the runway from 7,600 to 8,200 feet. Extra weight capacity will allow planes to take off with heavier fuel loads, allowing nonstop flights to the West Coast and international destinations like Mexico and the Caribbean. It's nice to see politicians lined up behind preserving and expanding an airport for a change. Republican Congressman Ralph Regula of Ohio said at the ceremony, quote, "It has been a pleasure to watch this place grow and thrive for more than 30 years, and I know that because of projects like this, our airport will be serving this community well for decades to come," unquote. Work remaining includes paving the newly built runway surface and adjoining taxiways, relocating and installing ILS equipment, and upgrading the safety area at the north end of the runway. Still ahead, NTSB has figured out why that Cobra UAV crashed. The Navy retires its last T-2 Buckeye trainer. And a record-setting security worker will retire tomorrow in St. Louis. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 14th, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. The National Transportation Safety Board has figured out why a Raytheon Cobra UAV being tested by crews at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs crashed on July 28th. The board says officials were demonstrating the plane to Academy staffers when that accident occurred. The flight started uneventfully, with the UAV performing all its pre-programmed maneuvers. Then, on its first landing attempt, the robot undershot its programmed base-to-final turn, and the humans intervened to force a go-around. On the second landing attempt, the craft overshot its waypoint on the base-to-final turn, and Raytheon Techs decided to see if it could correct its own error. NTSB says the Cobra started to correct, but then it hit a light pole, tearing off one wing. The board points out that the purpose of the flight was, after all, to test the Cobra's ability to control itself in the event of a control link loss. Except for the apparent problem with the final turn fix, the Cobra performed perfectly. Marking the end of an era, a T-2 Buckeye made its last student training flight last week from Naval Air Station Pensacola. The type has now officially been retired after almost 50 years in service. The Pensacola News Journal reports Lieutenant J.G. Dave Chun and First Lieutenant Brian Miller were the last student pilots to fly the jet. For Chun, the August 8th flight was doubly special. It also marked his successful checkout flight. He received his wings afterward. The North American Buckeye was designed as a low-cost multi-stage trainer. Sporting a straight wing and cockpit controls similar to the T-28C Trojan, the Buckeye offered a faster top speed than the Air Force T-37 Tweety Bird. From the time the first T-2 entered service in 1959, U.S. Navy Buckeyes flew over 3.4 million hours. Almost every naval aviator in Pensacola flew the type in preparation for carrier landings. Chun and Miller were greeted by a water cannon salute as they taxied in after the last flight. A formal retirement ceremony will be held August 22nd. Then, the last T-2 will head to the Boneyard at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Arizona. A retirement of another sort this week will not involve a boneyard, but maybe a bone. Lambert St. Louis International Airport will mark the retirement of one of its hardest-working employees tomorrow. Pino is a 13-year-old Belgian Malinois who will end her tour of duty with the airport police department after 10 years and 11 months on the job. That's a record at Lambert. Pino is currently the oldest dog out of more than 500 certified in the Transportation Security Administration's National Explosives Detection Canine Team Program. The TSA partners with law enforcement agencies to provide the dogs, training, and a yearly stipend to help protect the nation's transportation system. Pino arrived at Lambert in September of 1997 after graduating from the military working dog training course at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. She's part of a 10-team canine unit at Lambert focusing on explosive detection and other security details. During her career, Pino has worked numerous high-profile events, including protection details of two U.S. presidents, school threats that followed the Columbine tragedy, the 1999 St. Louis visit of Pope John Paul II, heightened security levels following 9/11, and the 2002 Winter Olympics Games in Salt Lake City. She'll retire to the home of her police partner, Sergeant Steve Swafford, following her final shift at Lambert tomorrow. And finally, for most people, fear of mice would be an irrational, maybe slightly paranoid concern. But a pilot named Danny Hall can tell you without a doubt, the mice are out to get you. On August 2nd, Hall was flying his single-engine Cessna over the Pawcatuck River in Rhode Island, setting up for landing on Runway 7 at Westerly State Airport. When he pulled carb heat, his engine suddenly quit, and he was forced to ditch the plane in the river. He suffered only minor injuries. But as soon as they started their investigation, FAA reps found the culprit. There was evidence of a mouse nest near the carburetor. And let's just say there was further evidence that when Danny pulled the heat knob, the nest and the mice got sucked into the carburetor. If you've ever pre-flighted a Cessna piston single, you know the little oil and dipstick door doesn't provide much of a view in there during pre-flight, and the carb's mounted on the bottom of the engine anyway. Hall credits good flight instruction for his survival. ANN has been unable to confirm that Hall's next plane will have a slightly enlarged dipstick door, roughly the size of a cat. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Jeff Burke, Executive Director of Branson Airport LLC in Missouri. Jeff will explain how private funding and freedom from FAA mandates will allow the creation of a better experience for airline passengers. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.